So during our time together, we would ask you to keep some concepts in the forefront at all times. Wants versus needs. In Coburg, our experience has been that these words are often used interchangeably. And we'd like to be clear regarding the goal of this study, therefore using the right words is essential. Needs are things such as shelter, food, and clean water. As appealing as it might be to have an enhanced waterfront, these may be nice to have rather than need to have. Coburg's limited resources must be directed to the true needs of its residents. We ask that in your report, you provide a clear needs-wants definition and designation for each project. When we talk about wants, we also would like to see them simple and cost-effective, not grandiose. We ask that your consulting solutions be simple and cost-effective. An example using the East Pier might illustrate what we mean. Grandiose would be to design a huge glass gazebo at the end with a promenade leading up to it lined with period lighting. Simple and cost-effective might be to add some benches, badly needed garbage cans, and some square planters to make it look pretty and user-friendly. Paul is now going to speak about the marina. Paul?
I got involved in this several years back. I'm a retired banker, 43 years in banking, so when it comes to finances, I know my way around. So what I wanted to talk about briefly was the financial viability of the marina. And over the years, there's been much discussion in town, debate on an issue that's been highly unpopular with the vast majority of Coburg residents and citizens. Quite frankly, it's time to bring closure to any marina expansion, which most of the residents of Coburg had thought had already happened back on June 29, 2015, when Coburg Council approved the following motion. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council directs that any plans regarding expansion of boat slips at the Coburg Marina west of the center pier cease effective immediately. And that was to put the end to the whole discussion. Now we're back here again. The West Harbor should be designated that any and all future usage be restricted to passive purposes, such as but not limited to dragon boating, canoeing, kayaking, and junior sailing. The number of transient slips should be reduced from 33% to slightly fewer than 5%. That's about 10 slips of the total slips available. This will provide a greater certainty of revenue by improving the overall occupancy and decreasing employee cost, since the rental seasonal slips will be less labor intensive. That's where all the staff time goes. Also, Coburg residents, those of us who pay taxes who live here, should have first choice on seasonal slips. And a higher price fee structure should apply for non-residents. So, you know, there should be benefits to membership. There should be benefits to being a citizen of the town. A travel lift, which has been proposed by some, to lift boats in and out of the water, quite frankly, is not financially viable. And Brian will talk to that. The focus should be on making the existing operation of the marina more profitable by the following. Increasing revenues through higher occupancy, higher slip fees, and higher markups on gas, beverage, and other sale items. The charges will still be competitive with other local marinas, reducing employee cost because of fewer transit slips and negotiating lower bank service and credit card merchant fees. Quite simply, that's how you're going to make it profitable.
I think, thank you, Paul. Are there any questions about anything I've said so far or about Paul's portion of the presentation? As I say, this was part of the presentation, the delegation that has already been done, And the complete delegation is in your package. Are there any questions about anything we've covered so far?
No, that's mine, and that dates back.
No?
No.
Okay.
In the package.
Before I invite Brian to speak, I just would like to point out that in your package there is also a campaign position from each of our elected councillors, and most people liked what they had to say, which is why they got in. And so we've included that as part of our package. It's right after the pictures of the travel. There's two more pages, I think, there, Mary Catherine. There it is there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just be aware that that is there. Brian now is going to speak about the travel lift and boat storage. Brian?
Thank you. Okay, as background Lydia mentioned, I'm director and treasurer of the CTA by profession. I'm a chartered accountant and have lots of experience in corporate finance and controllership and that end of the world in consulting. So I got into this, I guess, 2 years ago when the harbor expansion and the marina expansion was all going, and the boaters and the yacht club were all rah-rah about getting a boat lift and so on and so forth. And I'm sure in their presentations to you, this has come up. And if their presentations are similar to what they did before, the net result of it is that their financial case is extremely poorly stated. The truth is the travel list service is not financially viable. Okay? It would benefit very few of Coburg's 19,000 residents. Instead, it would benefit approximately 50 privileged people. Okay, that's the number of boats that were lifted in 2 weeks ago was 35. Okay, the travel lift is a large industrial-looking machine, and there's a picture of it in your presentation, as well as several pictures of what happens when things go wrong. This machine is substantial. It's large. It's not pretty. It detracts from the overall marina view. The residents of the nearby condominiums who paid a premium for their residence, and part of that was the view, certainly don't want an ugly industrial machine sitting there and so on. The boaters 2015 presentation indicated that about $90,000 of revenue was required to cover the operating costs and debt. This is a break-even position at best and has no provision for contingency or even making a profit, which would fund future capital repairs. To earn $90,000, 100 boats a season would have to be serviced. This is more than double the current load. Okay, and they've made no indication of where these extra boats are coming from. Okay, there's 140 odd seasonal slips currently in use. Only 23 boats or 35 boats are lifted in and out. The other 100 or so go somewhere and don't use the service. So the boaters have never answered that question: where is the extra market? Where are the extra boats coming from? And they've never presented a viable business case. The travel lift is basically a crane, okay? It would expose the town to substantial liability and related insurance in case of accidents. The current process of hiring a crane operator, commercial crane, and so on, the crane operator bears that liability and bears the expensive insurance and so on. The safety concerns that the boaters put forth are an exaggeration. The crane company has and can provide staff if needed. So, you know, the boaters volunteer to cut costs. You know, there's no need for them to do it if they don't have to and assume those risks. If you're going to lift out extra boats, you need extra boat storage. So where's this going to come from? The current facility has storage for about 70 boats, and it's underutilized. There's only about 50 or so stored each season. Land availability for this expansion is problematic. The boaters' presentation also indicates they make an example that it would earn 10K of revenue and so on. This represents only 17 boats that would use this extra space. Their math doesn't work. Okay, again, the local residents in general, as Paul has pointed out, sort of oppose any of this kind of expansion. The nearby residents who would have their view and so on adversely affected by a travel lift, the additional storage and so on, also come into play. I don't think they bargained for that when they bought their condos. Along with this comes the need for additional parking. According to the boaters, it is a major inconvenience for them to have to use the parking lot at the west end of the marina. What is actually needed is a drop-off space along the North Pier wall so that they can conveniently park there temporarily, unload their stuff in proximity to their boat, and then go and park somewhere. Instead, they want 35 dedicated parking spots. No indication about who's going to pay, but it's not voters. They don't pay for parking. Okay. So, and additional parking space would require additional loss of green space. So all of these things are, you know, in our view, in general, detrimental to the aesthetics of the waterfront and potentially add a financial burden to the taxpayers of Coburg. Okay? And in a business context, are simply not financially viable. So the summary, yeah, that's it. If the boat lift isn't financially viable, same with the storage, you know, current storage isn't being used to capacity, so why expand it? Same with parking spots, and no viable business plans have ever been presented. So the conclusion is none of it is financially viable, none of it is aesthetically desirable, and most Coburg residents would not be pleased with it. That's it.
Thank you, Brian. Are there any questions, comments?
I just have one question. Did you say how many boats are currently in storage right now?
The boat storage lot has capacity for 60 to 70 boats, depending who you talk to.
Okay.
The actual usage over this past winter was about 50.
Okay.
There's in the package we gave you, there's a more complete analysis of this. There is also a full rebuttal of the voters' 2015 presentation.
Now, is that online?
Some of it's on our website, and we'll certainly send you this.
Well, which one are you asking about? The voters?
The voter presentation, yeah.
The voters' presentation.
Yeah,
I have a copy of it. I'm not sure.
If you just
it is online, but you have to dig for it through council.
You never find it.
So we can send it to you.
You never find it through the town website.
You can make a note of that, Ken. And
I didn't bring a sheet of paper, but you know.
Oh, yeah.
Next one, yeah.
All right.
We can send that to you.
Sure. Okay. And if I'm to send you an electronic version of that, I need an email address. Okay. So to whom should I send it? To you?
To me.
Okay.
I Googled it and you find it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't.
Don't go to the town website. Just spend an hour. Just Google it and it's there.
Yeah.
So okay. As long as you got the title right.
Yeah.
Other questions?
I'll send it.
Any other questions about this part?
No.
Okay. I would like to close by speaking about our last issue, the trailer park and the lands. The CPA has never done a presentation about the trailer park. However, we have polled our directors and advisory committee and we all agree on two key points. One, we are all opposed to the area being used for a boutique hotel spa. And two, we believe that the waterfront belongs to the people of Coburg. We strongly disagree with the current staff council thinking that seems to favor increasing tourism to save Coburg. We have not seen any evidence that it does. In addition, we believe that efforts to develop waterfront commercial and retail will be in direct competition with existing Coburg businesses. Most of us live here because we like small town life. Tourists bring crowds, traffic, noise, bylaw infractions, and garbage. To add insult to injury, it is our tax dollars that pay for the required increases in police presence, bylaw enforcement, and garbage pickup. Something I would like to add just before I conclude the presentation, and we'll have room for questions and discussions after, I just want to let you know I met with Councillor Darling on Monday, and the purpose of my meeting with him was to discuss our concerns about the way the, and I'm not sure if this is really to discuss with you, but I just, in case it is, I will tell you. Our concern is with the process, the way the waterfront consulting process itself has been handled. We don't have confidence in it, and because we don't have confidence in it, we don't have confidence that whatever recommendations you suggest, that the implementation will be carried out well, either. As a simple example, you're involved in community, you want community engagement. I sent a survey out to 12 CTA people. These are people who, as you can see, are interested, are active, are in the know. Of the 12, two had absolutely no clue that there was any kind of waterfront consultation going on. Six got the information from John Draper's site, the Coburg Internet. Of those six, one went to CivicWeb to verify the information and could not find the information. And as a matter of fact, I brought, I printed out a copy of screenshots of CivicWeb. The information about the waterfront consultation process is still not there as of 1 o'clock on Monday. And that's only one small example. I covered up other things. So someone at the waterfront meeting said, you're not reaching the people. And I don't know how many people were there on the Monday night, but I figure if you took away the CTA people that were there, and if you took away the staff, like town staff and counselors, if you took all those away, you didn't really have that many members of the general public left. And we got the word out to
62 signatures on the sheets of people who came in, but I'm not sure how many of those were CTA.
If you took staff, CTA, and counselors.
The staff weren't on that list.
Okay. I think that number would probably come down to about 40.
Yeah, it's my guess, but...
Well, staff weren't on the list, but only the people who came through the doors for the meeting were on the list.
Yeah.
So 62.
Yeah, anyway,
60 is only 1% of the family.
Anyway,
I
just want to let you know we did our own internal survey, and not only one person heard about in council or on 89.7 on the radio, because Brian Darling did an interview on 89.7. So one out of 12 heard about it that way. Two hadn't heard about it at all. Six heard about it on Draper. The rest thought that they heard about it on Draper. Not other than that one person who heard about it on council and, you know, possibly the interview on the radio, that's 11 people that didn't see it through any town resource or however you guys are letting people know.
Well, how do you usually find the public meetings that are happening?
John Draper. Over internet, seriously.
But are you suggesting that any process the town has done has not been successful in terms of getting it out there? I'm just trying to find out how we can do better.
I'm being specific about the waterfront consulting process.
No, I know, and I am too. That's all I care about. But I'm trying to figure out in the past how it's been done, so we can mirror that approach or do something different, so that we can. We have lots of meetings coming up.
Yeah.
So there's time to. If we're off the rails, let's get it back on.
I think what it needs is brainstorming. I mean, I was actually going to suggest to Brian, a lot of us probably just give us a bunch of flyers. We're down by the waterfront on a regular basis. You want us to hand out flyers to passersby? The various coffee shops, most of them have bulletin boards. But the other I didn't bring the, well, I have it in the car, what I talked to Brian about, but another example, the stakeholder meetings, okay? Brian, Dean Hustwick sent me something saying, town staff, counselors, informed citizens, people in the know about Coburg history, all of these people got together to put together this stakeholder list, right? My question is, so, and I'm not asking you to answer the question, just I didn't expect Brian to answer the question. I just wanted to express my concern, our concerns. So the CTA was not on the list. Given the fact that we've been around since 2015, we're very active, and we've done two delegations on the waterfront, why were we not on the list? The trailer park people, why were the trailer park people not on the list?
Who are the trailer park people? People actually stay there?
My understanding is that about, I've been trying to verify a number, and I don't have a verifiable number. Based on past discussions that I have, my understanding, belief, is that about 40% of the trailer park people are actually Coburg residents. So my dental hygienist stays down there, my accountant stays down there. Brian Darling said he knew people that stayed down there. And when I said to Brian, why weren't the trailer park people contacted, he said, oh, well, we have no way of contacting them. I said, Brian, that's ridiculous. Anyone that runs a business or has an association has a contact list, has an email list. His face got a little red, so I kind of backed off and said, you know, I'm not trying to attack you. I'm bringing concerns and perceptions to you. The third group was Preserve Our Heritage Harbor. Those are the people that when Paul did the presentation, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Protested in front of, you know, we had a big press conference down at the harbor. We protested in front of Town Hall, which is when they ended up passing that motion that Paul Paniuelo just read to you. Brian Darling, and I'm not criticizing Brian, I'm just saying, Brian Darling had never heard of Preserve Our Heritage Harbor. He didn't know who I was talking about. We had big buttons, we had surveys all over town. So those were, that again, if you're putting together a list of stakeholders and you haven't included those three, which we think are pretty obvious that we know about, who else might be missing?
So I have a trailer park.
What actually happened was I heard via the grapevine that you guys were interested in speaking with them. I contacted my hygienist and said, you know, if you guys want to have a voice, you need to get together. Uh-huh. So Dean just stuck his head in a minute ago, that Adam Ferguson that he's talking about. I had a conversation with Adam yesterday or today, mm-hmm. have connected him with Dean.
Okay.
And so you are going to be meeting be meeting with the trailer park people.
And then Preserve Our Heritage, and then it was your own group that you were mentioning?
Our own group, which is here now. Because
also the Willow Beach.
Because we asked to be Willow Beach is on it. Preserve Our Heritage Harbor, we talked to the Preserve Our Heritage Harbor people. Their objectives are very closely aligned with the Willow Beach Field Naturalists.
Yeah.
So the Willow Beach Field Naturalists are pretty well covered off their position. So I think we're okay there.
Probably the same people.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we may not be hearing from them, but we may.
Yeah.
No.
And there were some eyebrows raised, too, when the list came out. And Friends of Victoria Park. And everyone said, who are they? Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Trailer Park group not represented, but the voters are, and is, and yet, you know, other than the fact that it's in the water, there's no difference between them.
I guess the difference, though, is that one group is already organized and the other one is yet to be organized. Mm-hmm. It's not an official trailer park group, something maybe an individual now.
There is a group, but they don't have a...
And this is not the only opportunity for individuals. So, I mean, I'd say even if the trailer park group never got actually to become a group, every individual who ever has stayed there can participate in this process, whether it's with survey.
But again, I think through the public perception of what this process is, there is a lack of perception that they could do that.
Do you think they don't understand that they'll have that opportunity?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they don't know. As I said, I contacted Veronica. She didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she got
Pardon me? Yeah, about the consultation.
Okay.
Nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, the study is ongoing, so it's not like tomorrow is the deadline for input. So
that's good.
As people are discussing it, and you're calling your hygienist, and she's calling
and she told two friends, and she told
exactly.
two friends.
So we fully expect, you know, by the time we're doing a lot of public meetings. So we've got another one on the 10th. We've got one on the 31st of May, and then we're doing June again. And then there's the whole summer for people all to chat about it, and then there'll be another one.
Yeah.
So, and we're taking input all the way along.
Yeah.
So it's always the thing about public consultation is always people are saying, we didn't know about it, we just found out, and because you never can get everybody at the beginning, right? It's just the beginning of the process, and we're at the beginning.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the end, we're going to...
And even at the next meeting, that hopefully there'll be more people, because for the first meeting, the second meeting, more people have heard about it.
But the users of the waterfront, seasonal users who rent, there's only the marina and the trailer park.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
Two groups. These make a profit, the trailer park, I don't know, $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The marina supposedly breaks even because no town wants to have a golf and country club or a marina or an equestrian park like they have in Ottawa without being able to tell the residents there's no tax money. They're self-supporting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're fully user pay. Of course, we don't know about the marina because there's $1 million underfunding to repair docks. So that's an issue. But the trailer park should have been included. But the town would have to reach out to them.
Yeah.
Because there's no organization.
Yeah. And the town does have the information.
Yeah.
And reaching out is not what the town does.
Yeah.
They are since we got involved, I think, since the CTA was formed, I definitely am seeing improvement. You know, this is a very positive step. You know, we've got a lot more engagement now with the budget process, things like that. The culture, I think, is starting to change. But the problem is, and it's not just for this, it's for every group. How do you reach people? I think I am not sure if I mentioned at your group, I belong to Encore, which is a seniors group out of St. Peter's. They have, I think, 165 members. Recently, when they canceled line dancing, I got a phone call. None of them use online or the internet.
Yeah.
So they're not going to go to the web. You can't send them an email blast. And, you know, I also belong to the Northumberland course. A lot of seniors, and a lot of them aren't very computer literate either. So relying on that way of doing it, I knew someone in Nairn, Scotland, and in their shop windows, when somebody passed away, they would have a little card in everybody's shop window. So as you're window shopping, you say, oh, you know, Obi and Ferguson passed away. They're having his wake on such and such a day. You know, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, folksy or unorthodox or something. But especially if you want to create community engagement, create a community, give people a reason to go downtown. They go downtown to have a cup of tea and see who's passed away recently. Yeah. Because the newspapers... I actually was just talking to someone from Guelph today, and she was saying that the big Guelph paper is no more.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think Northumberland today seems to be declining, and...
All print media is, mm-hmm. but on the print media, and I don't think you brought it with you, but you had an ad.
Oh, the ad, I do. It's in the car.
Yeah, and... The bit about the waterfront consultation and everything.
I'm going to go get it. You guys mind? Just give me
a minute. A 2-inch column stuck in between other municipal stuff.
Mm.
Okay? And just visually, if you were scanning, it just appeared to be, it could have been a tender request.
Mm.
There was nothing that jumped out.
Mm.
It was small. So maybe... rather than leaving it to the town communications thing, take a more active role in terms of, you know, what are the ads being placed in the newspapers and so on, and make sure that they're, eye-catching and stuff, and not just kind of buried in amongst things.
Yeah. Well, I'll take a look at that. That's a good point.
Some of the points Lydia was making about, you know, maybe flyer, not necessarily flyer distribution, but flyer posting. So post them on the bulletin boards in the CCC here. Post them down at the Market Building, post them in Victoria Hall, post them in, you know, a variety of places. And, they, and as she mentioned, there are a number of businesses in Coburg, especially the restaurants and the coffee places, that have bulletin boards, mm-hmm. or would stick it in their window, or, you know, something like that.
Hard traffickers, beer store, liquor store.
You can do stuff like that.
Well, no. The town website is, many staff have stated that the town, we invested that last May in the new website, the opening, and it was a big improvement, but their philosophy is that everything is there, you know. But people don't go to the website to cruise. They go to the website because they found something and they want to know time and place.
Right.
They already know it.
Yeah.
So they don't know the waterfront assessment. You know, you got to get to them another way, because they don't go to the website every day and say what's happening in Coburg.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a horse. You know.
Yeah.
That's actually probably not the best example. I had another one which... basically three things. One of them is like 4 inches wide, and it's got a big volunteers needed for cleanup. And then the other side was 3.5 inches, and it was Canada 150 celebrations. Here's the stuff. And then they had like a 2-inch thing down the middle, which looked like a request for tender.
Yeah.
It like, you wouldn't know that that was aimed at you, the public. I pointed that out to Brian as well.
He got an earful.
Well, and
so this
I just wanted to mention this, Brian.
As a dump on staff or council, it was just acquainting you with the lay of the land, if you would.
This is an article. It's actually about Hamilton Township, and I can't give it to you, but. One of the things that it said in here, and I like this wording, the strategy is to, quote, recognize conflicts which occur during each summer season at the waterfront landing areas between the anticipated lifestyle of local residents and the activities of visitors. That's incorporated right in the plan. And I think it's a really good recognition of kind of what we're talking about, what we want to see going on. Because right now there seems to be a disconnect. We don't really know what the residents want. We know what some special interest groups want, and we want to bring tourism in to make our town prosper. But there's a disconnect because they don't recognize the conflicts.
Well, hold on a minute. When you say we want to bring tourism in.
The town.
The town. Not necessarily the residents.
No, the residents don't want tourism. You saw that at your meeting, right?
Yeah, and we've heard that. We've heard both sides, so we're still getting all the information. But yeah, no, I think the town recognizes that there's that side of it too. The people aren't in favor of it.
You've heard both sides.
Yeah.
What side is in favor of it?
I think residents we talked to, part of the groups, they seem to be okay with the idea of tourism.
I would phrase it more as they have resigned themselves to the evil, as opposed to they embrace it or actively
embrace it. But I don't know. I think not everybody is as. I mean, there's all different levels.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
You know, I don't know that anybody.
But Akeem is innocent. As someone who lives here, I don't know of any group that's in favor of more tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of the hotel owners are.
I mean, not every group has talked about tourism either. Right? They've got a very, another view of it.
I just wanted to say this really concludes the part of our presentation, so thank you. The rest of it is just kind of free for all. If you have any questions, you just want to engage in dialogue back and forth, but we've kind of done our bit.
The rationale of tourism, we've touched on it a number of times, and I'm sure you just mentioned you heard it from others. And one of the issues we have with the tourism, the whole tourism thing, and council and staff's obsession with tourism as the savior of Coburg, is that it's totally unfounded. There's no studies that support that that would occur. We've had the beach now for 20-odd years, and you could walk down Main Street, King Street, Maine, and talk to the merchants, and none of them rely on tourism for their business. And if the tourism went away, I don't think you could find one of them that would be adversely affected to the point of having to shut down. So the proof isn't there. The evidence isn't there. It's not an evidence-based decision or comment. And but yet it seems to be the driving force, and it's always trotted out in any kind of discussion about fix the waterfront.
Did you have any other questions for us?
No, I don't think so.
I spent a lot of time talking to people on the waterfront, and everyone I've talked to says, I want to come down here and park my car and not pay money. They're pissed off that they're residents of Coburg that have to come down to the beach and find the toonie and go to the machine, and they're really angry about that. They say, if you could give them 1 hour of free parking from Monday to Friday, or not necessarily the weekend, so they can come down and enjoy their beach and not have to, I mean, it's crowded enough with tourism, they've got to park, you know, 6 blocks away.
We never go there during the week anyway. No, we never go there on the weekends during the summer anyway. We only go during the week.
Many people have said they'd love to have a place to put their kayak, and you know, off here at the marina, off this, what I call the south, this is the outer harbor. We call it west. It's actually south of this town. So I don't know how it got the name west. Inner harbor, outer harbor. There's a beach here, a little place to put their kayak. Mm-hmm. There's people in condos. People, well, I suggested that too, love the idea. You know, you can't store a condo on the balcony. You can't fit it in your storage locker. You can't get it down an elevator. So there's simple things that could be done that aren't costly. But
no, for
parking,
sure. We've been hearing those ideas too.
Yeah, and this little area here in front of the beach, this is Mayberry. Those 10 parking spots.
Amen. Yep.
You go down at any time of the day, there's 10 people in their cars. Mm-hmm. They're going to coffee. They leave, and someone else comes again.
Or right on the pier.
Yeah.
Or the pier, yeah. But this little one here, is you're right on the beach, and that's the sanctuary. That's holy ground.
Mayberry, well done.
Yeah.
Are we done?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.